Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. Happy Monday.
Ian is here. Hello, Ian.
Hello, hello.
We got the crew, and guess what? I watched me a lot of college baseball this weekend. Now, it's funny. Somebody sent me a text, or a tweet. Somebody sent me a tweet, and they said, let me pull it up. Because a lot of people, this has been a show. I'm not going to lie. This has been a show that in the past, the most interesting topic as far as college baseball has been concerned, because Vanderbilt has been good a lot of the time that we've been on the air. But the number one topic has been, is it really worth talking about? Do enough people care? Let me say this. We're not having that discussion today. We're not having that discussion this week. Somebody tweeted me and said, the city of Nashville never notices that Vandy has an incredible baseball program until mid-June. And the cocky UT fans, I'm going to be surrounded by college baseball experts by next February, LOL. AKA, nobody noticed until now. And that's not really true. I don't want to say I'm a big college baseball fan because I'm not. But I do know this. When I was 8 or 9, when Roy Mewburn was the coach at Vanderbilt, I went to Vandy baseball camp. They used to give us the media guides on the last day, and everybody would take it around and have the players sign it, even though these Vandy baseball players were, well, they're a far stretch from what they are now. Vandy was not very good. I remember I used to look at the media guide because, you know, you had it now. I'd read it, and I'm like, man, they kind of stink. Like, Vandy baseball stunk. And I remember those days. And I remember when Tim Corbin got the job. And I remember when Jeremy Sowers was the best player on the team. And I remember when they got through because of local guys like Ryan Mullins, who was a local guy who went to Father Ryan, and Warner Jones, who was a local guy that went to MBA. And they finally broke through for the first time ever when I was in the 8th grade and got to the Super Regional. They got housed by Texas. I've covered Vanderbilt in the Super Regional. I remember, in fact, one time they had one of their best teams ever in 2013. They got swept at home in the Super Regional by an okay Louisville team, and the best player in that regional was my college roommate. So I know enough about college baseball. I know that the Vols have been rather irrelevant for the last decade and a half, kind of like the football program. But the truth is this. Vandy baseball needed the Vols. They need the Vols. I'm not going to sit here and dump on the accomplishments of Tim Corbin and Vandy baseball, but the truth is it's a niche sport with a niche audience, and it needed something to bring it more mainstream, and they've got it now because there's the Vols. I think both teams are incredibly exciting to watch. I thought Kamar Rocker's performance on Friday was fantastic. I thought Jack Leiter was good on Saturday. I thought Vanderbilt played Vanderbilt kind of ball. And I'll give you an example. In the 8th inning Friday, Vanderbilt up 1-0 on a solid East Carolina team. This was not a great East Carolina team. It was a solid East Carolina team. And an East Carolina team that's kind of been there and done that. They've been to Super Regionals before. And they were a national seed. But they're up 1-0 in the 8th inning. Kamar Rocker's already out of the game. Nick Maldonado's in. And Enrique Bradfield Jr. gets on base. He steals second. They move him over to third. They bring him in. Close play at the plate. They have to review it. Safe, 2-0. Insurance run. Game, Vanderbilt. That's how Vanderbilt's going to play you. Now, they can hit home runs. They can score 10 runs if they need to. But that's how Vanderbilt's going to play you. And those two pitchers are leading the way. And if it's not for those two guys, or if they lose one of the games that those two guys pitches, they're in a little bit of trouble. Tennessee, and again, I think the Vols can win low-scoring games too. They've proved that this year. And Caroline, you're an LSU alum and an LSU fan, and you've covered LSU baseball. And LSU baseball is such a big deal in Baton Rouge because they're almost always good. This LSU team, and I'm not taking anything away from the Vols, this LSU team, I watched them play this weekend. They're kind of weak.
They're bad.
They're kind of weak.
They're bad.
I mean, I thought, to be honest, I thought Wright State was better than LSU. Like, that was, I mean, I thought Wright State in the regional, I thought they played some ball. And UT absolutely lit up the tired LSU pitching. Now, they would have lit up LSU under any circumstances, probably. But after the regional in which LSU had to win at Oregon, the arms just, the stuff was not flat. Even the coach was saying that before the game got out of hand. The coach was saying that during the in-game interview with Chris Burke and Tom Hart. But again, back to the main point. Vanderbilt baseball needs Tennessee. They need the Vols in Omaha. And it would be great for them if the Vols get to the College World Series final and they play Vanderbilt in a best-of-three winner-take-all, Kamar Rocker, Jack Leiter, Jake Rucker, you name it. That would be great for Vandy baseball. I know there's a lot of Vanderbilt fans out there that will say, we don't care about the media attention. We don't care about how much you talk about us. We are going to support Vandy baseball every single day of the year. And that's great. But at the end of the day, it's about what's practical. It's about what you really want. People don't know this, but I remember listening to Vanderbilt baseball games when you could listen to a radio broadcast at VUCommodores.com. I think they played Georgia in SEC series. I was in the sixth grade, and I remember listening to that. They weren't on the radio. A couple years later, you could call in a number and you could listen to a radio broadcast. But they weren't on the radio. They weren't on TV. This was way before ESPN3. Vandy baseball has come a long way. But still, they're national champions. They go to the Super Regionals almost every year. They go to Omaha almost every other year. They have top flight players that are now stars in Major League Baseball. They've got guys winning World Series. They've got guys playing other Vandy guys in the World Series. You got an NLCS last year of Walker Buehler versus Dansby Swanson. You had a World Series 2 years ago of David Price and Walker Buehler. I mean, you got Vandy guys at the highest level. And it's great. But they need Tennessee to get into the mainstream. And now it is. Because the truth is the Vols bring a big audience with them. And Tennessee, and I'm not knocking Tennessee, though people who think that I hate Tennessee will say that I am in fact knocking the Vols. I'm not. Tennessee really hasn't come this close in anything since Scotty Hobson missed a free throw against Michigan State in the Elite Eight that kept them out of the Final Four. And that was 2010. So in the last decade, Tennessee athletics, in sports that people kind of vibe with, Tennessee athletics has not accomplished anything like this. And the Vol fans are excited. They'd be more excited if it were football or basketball, maybe even women's basketball, but it's not. It's baseball, and I think they're just excited to cheer on a winner. So here we are as sports talk radio hosts, local television coverage, you name it, and we have all this time to program. And it'd be great to program Vandy Baseball Talk every single summer because we can count on Vanderbilt being there, and guess what? They're there again. But it never really moved the needle. I can sit here and say, is Derrick Henry the best running back in the NFL? Because ESPN analysts today debated it. None of them said he was. And normally that would move the needle more than college baseball. But now that we have Vandy and the Vols, now it's mainstream. Now it's a big deal. Major League Baseball around the country does not get a ton of coverage. Quite frankly, it just... probably to the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, to the Shannon Sharp and Skip Baylesses of the world, to SportsCenter, to Fox Sports 1, to whatever. Probably just doesn't really move the needle. Mike Trout talk? You don't see that. But if one NFL player or one NBA player were to unfollow their own team on Instagram, we'd hear about it for 3 hours a day. I don't like it, and I'm sure you don't like it either, but again, that's what moves the needle. Remember when the Cubs made the World Series? And all of a sudden in 2016, they were just breaking records left and right. Because nobody had seen the Cubs win a World Series. Everybody knows baseball. They're just not totally interested by baseball. I say this as somebody who watches a lot of baseball, but also understands what people consume and what they don't. Why did the Cubs move the needle with the country? For a lot of people, it was because, well, we never seen the Cubs win a World Series before, and there was a historical element to it that we really, really wanted to see. But there's also the fact that the Cubs just have a lot of fans. The Yankees have a lot of fans. The Red Sox have a lot of fans. So when the Washington Nationals play the Houston Astros in the World Series and they get record low ratings, or the Tampa Bay Rays make it, it's not surprising to me that most people don't really tune in. October is also the time of year when football is in full swing. And the truth is, everybody loves football. So here is, for the city of Nashville and kind of the surrounding areas, here's the Chicago Cubs. It's the Tennessee Volunteers making the College World Series. To every Vanderbilt fan who has bemoaned the fact that even when Vanderbilt's in the College World Series, they don't get a ton of coverage. For every fan who's done that, Vandy's getting the coverage now, locally. I'm telling you right now, I mean, for the most part, I dictate what goes on this show. I know what moves the needle. We'll have Titans mini camp practices to break down, sure. But Vandy baseball and Tennessee baseball right now are the number one topic. And I'm not making it up. They needed the Vols. And the truth is, if you're a baseball fan and you want baseball in this area to really be loved, really be cared about, and you're a Vanderbilt fan, you should want the Vols to be good. Not just now, but over time. You should want the Vols to be your top rival. Not just because it's local, but you should want Tennessee fans to know everything there is to know about their team. Not, hey, let's get out in the street, crack open a couple of beers, and root on the guys in orange. But literally know, who are we bringing into the bullpen? Oh, don't bring him in. You want that. Because that's how you approach Vandy baseball. And if you approach Vandy baseball like that, and Tennessee fans start approaching Tennessee baseball like that, and it becomes that popular, then guess what? Everybody who covers it's going to talk about it because, again, that's what moves the needle. I don't decide what we talk about. You decide what we talk about. It's about your interests. Caroline, back me up. When we saw a couple weeks ago that if all we did was talk about Julio Jones, everything exploded, we kept talking about Julio Jones. I had a Julio brain mush for about a week when we get into the 5 o'clock hour and we spent 3 hours talking about Julio Jones. And I've already told you all how I felt, but that's the job. So guess what? Congratulations to Tennessee for making it to the College World Series. Congratulations to Vanderbilt for making it to the College World Series again. Congratulations to the coaches. Tim Corbin is the best in the game. Tony Vitello is probably the best young up-and-coming coach in the game. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to the players. And congratulations to the fans. Congratulations to Tennessee fans. You finally have a winner. You finally have a team you can get behind. And they really do look the part. And congratulations to Vanderbilt, because everybody recognizes your success. Everybody recognizes how good your program is. But now it's going to get the coverage and the attention that everybody always wanted it to. And I know some people will say, oh, Jared Stillman, he doesn't care about college baseball. He doesn't know. I'm glad they are. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Vandy's in the World Series. Tennessee is in the World Series. And again, I'm not one of these people. I know there's a lot of people out there that are, I don't want to say like picking fights, but I do feel like there's this sense of, oh, Vandy fans are mad at Tennessee, and Tennessee fans are, and honestly, like that, I don't want to say that that's beneath me. Like, I feel like that's maybe a little too much. But honestly, I'm not going to get into this whole, like, Vanderbilt fans are mad at Tennessee fans because Tennessee fans are celebrating baseball. And that, to me, is just ridiculous. Like, I am glad the Vols are in. I'm glad Vandy's in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get Caroline's thoughts on it coming up next. And I will tell you, if I had to bet Tennessee or Vandy which one would win the College World Series, I will tell you which one I favor next. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Got it! Vandy's going back to Omaha.
Line drive. Caught! And it'll be a big orange dog pile on the way to the College World Series.
Go, both teams, relative ease. Relative ease to get to the College World Series between Vandy and the Vols. I mean, I thought that Vanderbilt, and maybe I just looked at the name on the front of the jersey more so than how good the teams were. I looked at Vanderbilt playing East Carolina. I mean, Vandy had a gut two games out. Great performances by Rocker and Leiter. I think Rocker right now could go into a major league bullpen and get guys out. I think Leiter might be able to start a major league game right now and get guys out. But that's neither here nor there. Rocker, fantastic on Friday. Maybe, when all said and done, the greatest postseason pitcher in college baseball history. And again, there's still another chapter to write, and I almost feel robbed because we didn't have Kumar Rocker in the postseason last year for obvious reasons. But Tennessee just got the bats out this weekend. Caroline, what did you think of the Vols and Vanderbilt punching their tickets to Omaha?
I mean, the Vols this weekend were just absolutely unreal. And I mean, I know how not great LSU was this year, and I almost kind of found myself, as much as I love LSU baseball as an alum, as taking my fandom out of it, I would have loved to have seen Tennessee play Oregon. Sure. I think that would have been a really, really fun series. But oh my goodness, Kumar Rocker is so good.
He's dirty.
He is dirty. Starting pitcher for the Vols on Saturday. What is his name? Goggles?
Make your point.
Yes. 12 strikeouts. Unreal. We talk a lot about Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, but I think that we need to give Tennessee's bullpen some love as well.
So I will say this about Tennessee. If I had to make my pick right now between Tennessee or Vanderbilt, I'm taking the Vols.
I am as well.
Like, I am taking the Vols right now. And it's funny because I think that people think that, you know, they both made it there, and because it was kind of easy. Mm-hmm. The Vols had obviously a more difficult road. They had a tough game against Wright State. But I like the more difficult road for Tennessee doesn't really tell the whole story here. The truth is, the way this is going to work out is those two teams are so far away from playing each other right now that it's not the idea that they're going to all of a sudden, it's like Vandy made it to the World Series, the Vols made it to the World Series, they'll play a couple games, then they'll play each other. That's not how it's going to work out. I mean, it might feel that way if one of these teams rolls 3-0 through that regional. I don't know exactly what they call it, you know, in the College World Series. I've covered the College World Series. It is a marathon and not a sprint. And so, again, Tennessee is going to play that first regional. Vanderbilt should be the favorite in their side of the bracket because Arkansas got knocked out by NC State last night.
That was also a huge shock.
And that was a big shock, the number one team in the country. So Vanderbilt, who's the fourth team in the country and would naturally draw into the number one school, is now not going to. They're the best team left on their side of the bracket, which is good for Vanderbilt. I think, though, I worry about Vanderbilt's pitching depth after Leiter and Rocker, because they've got three guys who have started more than one game. So they've got three guys in their rotation, and they're all, you know, like the numbers are all similar. And I'm not going to knock on any of these guys, Riley, Little, Schultz. But again, the power for Vanderbilt is in their rotation with those two guys. And you need a lot of pitching to get through the regional, or whatever, again, whatever it's called, their side of the bracket. You need a lot of pitching to get through that. I will say, you got to win the first game. I have always been a believer that you cannot get yourself into the loser's bracket and play your way out of it in Omaha. The teams are too good there. I know it's happened. I know Georgia did it a handful of years ago, and they ended up winning the championship. I get it. But I think, like, I covered 2014. Vanderbilt ended up winning the national title. They played Louisville in the first game. And those two schools are big-time rivals because they're both good, but they're different. And Louisville started their ace, Kyle Funkhauser, who I think was ACC Pitcher of the Year. Vanderbilt started their ace. I can't remember who it was at the time. It might have been Carson Fulmer, I think, maybe was still there then. So they both started their aces, and Funkhauser had a bad inning. Louisville lost. Vanderbilt won. And all of a sudden, once you're in that winner's bracket, you can kind of put your feet up for a second if you can win that second game, and then somebody has to beat you twice. And if Vanderbilt can do that, where if Rocker and Leiter can win the first two games on their side of the bracket, and then they put themselves in a position to where somebody's got to beat them twice, you have to feel pretty good about your chances because of the off days in there. Perhaps we could see one of those guys, Rocker, back on short rest to try to, you know, that potential winner-take-all elimination game. With the Vols, that hitting is never going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Rucker, Gilbert, that crew, they are never, that hitting is never going away. I was looking it up in the SEC this year, and they scored in the SEC tournament, just using that as an example. They lost the first game, in the SEC tournament by only scoring two runs against Alabama. Then they scored 12 on Mississippi State, 11 on Alabama, 4 on Florida, and then they lost against Arkansas. They can score, and they can hit. And I know the wind was clearly blowing out yesterday in Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and the ball was flying off the bat.
It was such a fun offensive game to watch.
You really, in Omaha at TD Ameritrade, you really got to get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really have to hit the ball. If you're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark, you really have to get a hold of it. Because it's deep out there, and the new bats that they've introduced, the ball doesn't fly like it used to. And ever since they moved from Rosenblatt, which was a launching pad, into TD Ameritrade, it has been kind of steady going as far as home runs are concerned. I think there was a World Series where people were saying there were almost no home runs leaving the yard. But I think that this Tennessee power, I think it's for real. So again, you're gonna have to go at least 6 or 7 deep with your pitching staff. Your bullpen has got to be solid. Guys have got to be able to return on back-to-back days. Nick Maldonado did that for Vanderbilt against ECU, which is a good sign. But if I had to take one right now, given the format of the College World Series, I would take the Vols. Now, if Vanderbilt wins their side of the bracket and gets into the College World Series final, the best 2 out of 3, I would then take Vanderbilt. So if Vanderbilt makes it, let's say Vanderbilt and the Vols cruise, which is so unlikely because of the caliber of competition that is in Omaha. But let's say they both win just 3-0, 3-0, and walk right to the big dance. Okay? I would take Vanderbilt, knowing that Kamar Rocker would be fully rested for game one and Jack Leiter would be fully rested for game two. I would take Vandy. In fact, we already saw that series, and Tennessee did beat Jack Leiter, but we already saw that series. Vandy took 2 out of 3. But I just think Vanderbilt is so reliant on its high-end pitching that when you get into this kind of format, it's all hands on deck. Now, look, Vanderbilt can play any game you want to play. And I'm not saying Vanderbilt can't get out of their side of the bracket. I'll be real. I don't know enough about these other teams to sit there and be able to tell you, oh, well, this team can do this or that team can do this or whatever. I mean, I went into the weekend thinking LSU was better than East Carolina. I watched both teams play. It's not close. So I would say right now, if I had to pick one or the other, I would pick Tennessee. Because, again, you don't need to rest your offense. Vanderbilt, if they're going to win this championship, if Vanderbilt's going to win the College World Series, there is going to be another pitcher on that staff. And it's not going to be Rocker. It's not going to be Leiter. It's not going to be Maldonado. There's going to be a fourth pitcher on that staff that just wows us. That just all of a sudden we sit there and say, oh my goodness, this guy, where did he come from? And that's what it's going to take. And if Tennessee wins, I think they're going to have a harder draw throughout the entire, like their side of the bracket, they're going to have a harder draw. I think we're going to look at them and say, they can hit with anybody. But if I had to pick one or the other right now, I'm picking Tennessee.
I'm going to pick Tennessee as well. And I do want to give Vanderbilt hitting credit because their bats all season long have also been electric. I just think that Tennessee is riding this the sort of confidence that they don't care who they are playing and they don't care who is on the mound. They are going to take a stab at anything that comes their way, and it'll likely get out of the ballpark, because if there's been anything I've seen from Tennessee baseball so far in this postseason, it's that when they hit it, it's going to go out of the ballpark.
Sure.
So I think that I have a little bit more confidence in the consistency of Tennessee baseball so far, but when Kumar Rocker is on the mound, beware to anyone is what I have to say.
So I just don't think you can win this thing based off of one pitcher.
No, you can't. But I'm saying that's is a huge contribution to Vanderbilt.
I would just argue for me. Mm-hmm. I would think that, well, I think Vanderbilt fans understand the task ahead of them mm-hmm. more than Tennessee fans do. And I want to get to that because I think this is important. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Be sure to be listening later today in the show. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at Ascend Amphitheater. So be listening for your opportunity. That's on Tuesday, July 6th. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in that game this Friday night, you will win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC game. Your next chance to participate is Friday morning at 9:45 a.m. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, or streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, heck of a day for Vol Nation today. Broncos fans got to be happy because we got Peyton Manning saying Omaha again. So these guys are as excited as you can imagine. You know, get an SEC team drawn, you know it's going to be a war. But I think our kids showed up with the right mentality today. They were certainly focused, but they were also relaxed. And I could not be happier that the guy on the mound at the very end was Redmond Walsh. Small in stature, enormous in heart, and it kind of represents what we got going on in our locker room and in our dugout.
There you go. That's Tony Vitello, Tennessee baseball coach. Vols heading to the College World Series. I got to give Vitello some credit. I have to give Vitello credit because, boy, he's really turned that around. And there's a lot of things to it that I'm sure he's done that even he doesn't really talk about, but he has really turned the program around. And the one thing I don't want to do with Tennessee that I can feel comfortable with Vanderbilt is if you're a Vol fan and you're getting into this, enjoy it, because I don't know when the Vols will be back. They may be, Vitello may be the next Tim Corbin, and they may be there every year, but there's no guarantee of that. I feel pretty comfortable Vanderbilt's going to be back to the College World Series. Now, the one thing that Tennessee fans have to understand, because I think there's a lot of Tennessee fans that aren't huge baseball fans and definitely aren't big college baseball fans that are getting into it because the Vols have a squad and they're excited about it. The one thing Vol fans need to know that Vanderbilt fans, I think, understand is it's hard in the College World Series if you don't win your first two games. If you get into the loser's bracket, it is hard to get out of it. And some teams are deep enough and talented enough to do it, but I have seen really good teams go into Omaha and have their ace just get lit up, and all of a sudden it is an upwards climb. And you can do it. See, I still think Tennessee would have won their regional had they lost that first game to Wright State before Drew Gilbert hit the walk-off Grand Slam. I still think they would have won that regional, but these are different calibers of team that you are playing when you get to Omaha. And I've seen it. I mean, I've covered this thing. I've had buddies that have played in it that have gone on, that have knocked off the number one team in the country and turned around and gotten absolutely crushed in two games in Omaha. I mean, it is a slog. It is hard if you end up in the loser's bracket. It is hard. So I know that everybody's excited today, and Tennessee fans are pumping their chest, and they're saying, Rocky Top, and here we go, and let's go do it, and this, that, or the other. But just know that this is essentially like the Elite Eight in basketball. And when you get to the Elite Eight in basketball, that's good. But just know, like, hey, it's a lot harder than the teams that you've already played. You know, the teams that you're playing now, when you get to the Elite Eight, they're the Gonzagas. They are the North Carolinas, the Dukes, the Kentuckys. They are the creme de la creme. When Tennessee, a ragtag bunch in basketball, led by Bruce Pearl in 2010, when they got to the Elite Eight, they ran into Michigan State. It was a really good team. That's where the Vols are right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ed is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question for you. A couple of segments ago, you had mentioned that we as your listening audience dictate what or contribute to what you guys talk about.
Sure.
And I understand Julio Jones is a big signing and lots of people would be excited about it. But I'm kind of curious, and I would like for you to explain to me how the station spent nearly 90% of every host shift talking about the Predators for 5 weeks when they were the 14th out of 16 teams in the hockey playoffs. And it was the same stories regurgitated over and over again from host to host to host. Meanwhile, all these other sports are going on, and it got little coverage from you guys. So
I'm going to answer your question for you, Ed, and I appreciate your call. I'm going to answer the question. First of all, I don't think you got the same stuff regurgitated from host to host to host on this station. I mean, I listen to the other shows. I have a feeling the tone of our show when it comes to the Predators and the tone of other shows on our station might just be a little different. Fair?
Fair.
And I don't even think that they would. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong and we're right or they're good and we're bad.
Different styles.
Not saying any of that. I'm just saying, like, you know, some shows and our show, yeah, our show's a little harder on people because the Predators move the needle. Like, this is the amazing thing that people seem to struggle understanding. That is, I will say this, I'll be totally transparent. When I started here at the radio station, the Predators are a big part of what we do because we're the flagship station of the Nashville Predators. And I was a little worried that the Predators, like kind of Vandy baseball, I was worried that it was a niche audience. That at that point, when I came back here in 2015, the Titans held the second pick in the draft. There was all this Mariota Winston talk, Leonard Williams, whatever. Those were all kind of the discussions. Who are they going to take at number two? And the Predators had a good team that year. Not a great team, but a good team. And I thought to myself, man, these people are going to hire me and they're going to want me to talk Predators all day and it's not going to move the needle. It's a niche audience. I grew up here when the Predators were never talked about or never really cared about during the winter. It was SEC basketball. It was something like that. And then the Predators went to the Stanley Cup final. And we covered the Predators. The way that I approached this was, even though I knew that the Predators didn't have as many fans as the Titans, or as many fans as there were at the time, SEC football fans, and that people didn't know the game like they knew the other sports, I said, this is going to be a show that treats this the same. That we're going to treat the Predators the same way we treat the Titans, or we're going to treat it the same. And because we were talking about it, when they got hot, everybody just came to us. I mean, again, full transparency here. We were told when Floyd and I got together, we were told that we'd have 2 years to get the show off the ground. And I really took that to heart. Well, the Predators going to the Stanley Cup final and being the best team in the league in the second year made it pretty obvious that we were here to stay. And again, we got all the data. We even got data we weren't supposed to get. We got all the data. And it just said, keep talking Preds. Preds, 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 Preds. So I approached it a couple of different ways. I think the first thing is, 2 weeks ago when the Predators, 3 weeks ago when the Predators were in the playoffs, what else was going on around here? What did I miss?
There was college baseball going on, but at that point when the Predators are in the playoffs and Vanderbilt is playing a midweek game against
Belmont.
Vanderbilt fans, Vanderbilt baseball, no offense to you, the Predators are in the playoffs.
Well, and just think about it like this. That's pro sports. Think about it like this, though. Vandy and Tennessee keep being good, and the interest in this sport and the interest in these rosters and the interest in these players, and that goes up, then it may change things.
Yes.
But, I mean, again, let's be real. The NBA, do people know that the NBA normally starts the season in October? Like, do people know that? Because I don't know anybody who watches NBA basketball in October, November, December, or January. The NBA is irrelevant, I think, around the country until after the NFL's over. So this is mainly a Titans and a Predator show. Those are the local pro teams that move the needle. So again, when you say, hey, there's all these other sports going on, nobody cares in Nashville about the Phoenix Suns. It's not worth discussing. I will say this. I think there's an element, too, as the flagship station of the Predators. I think there is an element of everybody around the country, the way streaming works now. I mean, we have thousands and thousands of people every day stream this radio show one way or another. And so you can be anywhere, and you can stream this radio show. And so I also look at it like this, and I felt this way when I worked in Louisville. And I said, you know what's funny? There was a guy in Phoenix. We did the morning show. There was a guy in Phoenix who would be listening at 4 or 5 a.m. to our morning show talk about Louisville basketball. And I said, there's only one place in the world. If you are a Louisville basketball fan, there is only one place in the world you can go right now to hear a discussion in live time about Louisville basketball. It's our show. And I look at it this the same way with us, which is if you're a Titans fan and they sign Julio Jones or they win a game on a Sunday or lose a game on a Sunday, there is one place in the world in the afternoons that has Titans Monday, and it's us. There used to be one place in the world where you could hear the former general manager of the Titans talk about the Titans in live time with fan reaction, and it was here. And I think about that the same way when it comes to the Predators, which is there's one place in the entire world at 3:15 during the playoffs that you know will be talking, or you know for the most part will be talking about the Predators, and that's us. So, again, I don't want to spend like a whole, you know, month talking about why we talk about the things we talk about, but to answer the caller's question, that's why. And the Predators do move the needle. The Predators in the playoffs moves the needle. A Tuesday night game against Calgary in normal times maybe doesn't move the needle as much as the playoffs. But that's just like saying that a Vanderbilt baseball series against Kentucky does not move the needle around here. They get to the College World Series, and the Vols do too. That moves the needle. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I don't think it'd be the end of the world if Tennessee became the baseball state, like Alabama is the football state with Alabama and Auburn, or like Kentucky is the basketball state, or North Carolina is a basketball state with Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Louisville. I mean, those places go bananas for those sports. I think it'd be great if Tennessee was kind of this baseball state where the Vols were good every year and Vandy was good every year, and that was a big rivalry, and I think you'd see programs like Lipscomb take off and Belmont would be better supported, and I would love it. I would. But we're still a little ways away from that. I mean, those things don't happen overnight. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There was an odd storyline last night that I think a lot of people want to get excited about, or a lot of people want to take some shots at as far as baseball was concerned. I would just say this. Be careful what you wish for. We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Whereas Tennessee got a two-run.
Oh, you just keep doing this. Towards the pole, gone. Drew Gilbert with the jack, a laser to right. Wow! Headed towards the Tennessee River, and the Volunteers have homered again.
Big thank you to everybody. I mean, ever since we got here, you've seen already this weekend, I do a lot of foolish things and kind of get out of control at times, but just wanted to get this thing to where people were proud of it. And I think the crowd today alone, but also the following on the street or on TV or via text message for these kids speaks volumes of where it's at right now. And it's at that spot because the guys have won. But I think it's been more about the fashion in which they win with some grit and they play together. And for that to show up loud on TV or very obvious when you're watching in person, that means it's truer than true.
There you go. That's Tony Vitello, Tennessee baseball coach. The Vols are in the College World Series. Did you see, though, what happened at the end of the game?
I did.
Now, that's your coach.
Yes.
So, LSU's baseball coach is literally a legend. I mean, they got to the Super Regional this year, and that LSU team, by LSU standards, was
horrendous.
Not very good.
Horrendous.
I mean, you can probably go every three Major League Baseball teams, and there's one guy from LSU on every team. Like, every third team in the league. And LSU has been really good for a long time. And so, look, there were some things said throughout the course of the season. I forget exactly what it was that was said during the regular season that was at least a little bit walked back.
Yeah, Paul Maneri said something about Tennessee's rowdy fans. Was basically just talking about how the fans were, for lack of a better word, he thought were being obnoxious.
Okay. So he did that. Tennessee fans who never forget anything anybody ever says threw a fit about it. He walked it back a little bit. Then when they had a shout out for him at the end of the game, the Tennessee fans got up and booed. And I saw this, that like a bunch of people that cover LSU were really disappointed with that. I think they called it classless. And I heard people also today kind of defending Tennessee fans, saying, hey, he started the trash talking, and he deserved to get booed, and don't come into our house and talk about our fans, and don't. So you know him. I don't.
He is a wonderful person.
Let me say this. This is my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things I care about, this is way down the list. But Tennessee fans have to understand, they have a reputation in sports right now, and it's not all because of the Greg Schiano fallout, but I think there's a lot of it that's from that. And the fact that, well, a lot of people around the country don't think that all these coaches that everybody else at Tennessee thinks is a bad coach, they don't think these guys are that bad of coaches. Like, the coaches around the country, they think Butch Jones, you know, is a little over the top with his antics, but they don't think Butch Jones is a bad coach. They don't think Jeremy Pruitt is a bad coach. They don't think that all these guys are bad coaches. If they all thought they were bad coaches, then Nick Saban wouldn't be handing all of them jobs. And so, obviously, there's probably a disconnect there. The reputation the Tennessee fans have is well-earned. And I would just say, look, I get it. Every Tennessee fan loves to pump their chest and say, hey, don't come in here and mess with us. But I'm not going to say it's classless or the Vols fans shouldn't have done it or the LSU coach didn't start it, which he did. But again, doesn't this play into that narrative? It's almost like a stereotype of Vol fans about how reckless and, you know, rowdy and relentless, and I mean that in a bad way, how they can get sometimes. That why people don't want to go coach the football program there. Why Gus Malzahn has no interest, but he'll take the job that the guy who came in that you all didn't want to coach your team, who's the only guy Danny White could hire, comes in as the football coach, and Gus is like, oh, I'll go take his job at Central Florida. But that Gus wasn't going to come here? Like, don't you think maybe to tone it down a little bit? Like, is that, again, tone it down a little bit. I was thinking about this today. If you were the Titans, using this as an example, and you think about, okay, over the years, who gave the Titans the biggest fits? J.J. Watt. If it was J.J. Watt's last game and the Titans beat the Texans and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, here's a moment for J.J. Watt. I don't think Nissan Stadium would boo. That's just me. You know, J.J.'s, remember his selfie of Zach Mettenberger? It's not like he hasn't, you know, kind of ruffled the feathers a little bit. I think they'd cheer. So that's just me. Again, not the end of the world, not something I care that much about, but I would just say, like, the Vol, and I'm saying, can't you guys just tone it down a little bit? I know they can't. Well, but just should. Just tone it down a little bit. That's all I ask. Everything doesn't have to be a war. Everybody on Twitter doesn't have to get fired. Can we just bring it down a notch? That's all I ask.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that the fan base from my alma mater is classy or not relentless by any means. I don't know if you've heard the song Neck, but look up the lyrics, because if I would get fired if I would say them on the air. But my thing is, like, LSU fans are relentless. Vol fans are relentless. It's fun when you're a part of it, and it's not so fun when you're on the receiving end of it.
Sure.
Vol fans, I'm not going to tell you how to celebrate, because Tennessee baseball hasn't been good for 20 or 25 years. So enjoy every minute of it. An Omaha run is so fun. Enjoy every minute of being in the national discussion, because it is so much fun, and I am very, very happy for Tennessee baseball and Tennessee fans. However, there are certain things that are bigger than sports. And I'm not just saying that because it was Tennessee fans that were booing Paul Maneri off the field, and I love Paul Maneri. I would do the same. I would defend Mike Bianco, Ole Miss's coach. I would defend Tim Corbin.
Well, Mike Bianco is going to be the next LSU coach.
I would hope so.
I mean, he
but is. I'm saying, I mean, these legendary coaches that you have in the SEC and in college baseball, there are certain things when someone steps away from a legacy that they have created, no matter who it is, no matter what jersey that they're wearing, I think that they deserve a little bit of love. When Nick Saban comes into Tiger Stadium right after he announces that he's going to retire in a hypothetical situation, I really hope that LSU fans would not boo him off the field, because they would boo him off the field any other year. But you can at least honor the fact that someone has created something great, and just because you don't support that team doesn't mean that you can't show someone love for a sport that you love.
Someone sounds like you care about this more than I do.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it's a grand scheme of things. Like, Tennessee fans, enjoy it. Just don't. Don't be like that.
Did you think it was classless that they booed Paul Maneri?
Would I have been proud of it if I'm a Tennessee fan? No. But I'm not going to say it was classless. I'm not going to tell them how to celebrate. But I wouldn't have done it if I was a Tennessee fan.
I think you just did tell them how to celebrate.
No, I didn't.
I think you just, like, when you talked about, you know, I would hope that LSU fans wouldn't boo Nick Saban. And
I would hope that.
Again, Tennessee fans have a reputation. And that reputation will hurt you. It does hurt you. Football coaches do not want to coach at UT right now. Like, Josh Heupel, and maybe Josh Heupel is the next coming of Nick Saban. I don't know. But, like, you didn't want Josh Heupel. You did not want him. When Jeremy Pruitt got fired, and again, I think that also plays into it a little bit, is that Pruitt got fired so abruptly and for reasons that maybe some football coaches are like, oh, I'm not sure if I'd have fired that guy for that. Or I'm not sure that everybody else isn't doing that. Or I'm not sure that if they had been 8-4, they would have fired him for. I think that probably hurts you a little bit. But again, like, let's not get too worked up. Like, let's not, you know, because I do think that when a coach is thinking about taking the job, it's funny. Ian Rappaport. This is a story about Ian Rappaport where he got something wrong, but it's not his fault. Last week when he got something wrong, that was his fault. This is not his fault. He had reported, he was the beat writer covering Alabama, and he had reported that Rich Rodriguez was going to be the next head coach at Alabama. Rich Rodriguez was at West Virginia having a lot of success in the Big East, and Rich Rod was in fact going to be the next coach at West Virginia. So Ian Rappaport reports it, and as the story goes, Paul Feinbaum found out, went nuts, and the callers just were beside themselves that they were going to hire Rich Rod as their coach, that Rich Rod's wife heard the Paul Feinbaum show that day and told Rich Rod, we're not going there. And that was the end of it. And so then Rich Rod had to call Mal Moore and tell Mal Moore, hey, we're not coming. And now Mal Moore has to get on the plane to go to Miami to go try to get Nick Saban because he's out of options. So ultimately, it ended up working for Alabama in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just state that, you know, sometimes the craziness of the fans, it does act as a reason why somebody would not want to go coach there. 615-737-1025. I see your text into the text line on this, and we will get to those. But coming up next, I do have a question about what Tony Vitello has accomplished at Tennessee. And if it would be possible for a football coach to do the same. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NBA playoff action on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. They are here. We're getting close to the conference final. And you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. And you can bet it risk-free. New users get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. There are so many different choices on all of these games, like money line, over under, point spread, first basket score, you name it. You can root for your favorite players or your favorite teams. And you can bet small and win big because the odds are high, which results in greater payouts with the same game parlay bets. And if you don't win, you'll get $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.